Ramsey TV.
I don't think I'm imagining this because it seems like something nasty or inconvenient happens right before I'm ready to do a show. When Phil Meal was here, he watched me do a couple shows and he was watching me set up and he saw me wrestling with the wires and he saw me trying to set up my camera. He saw the camera falling down. He saw me getting agitated. He saw me flitting through my notes. And he got a real dose of reality about this show and about me in particular, because I always tell people that everything is existing on a ragged edge, which is why I always say I'm at the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. And when Phil saw it, he said, man, I really got a revelation here. And the revelation is that as slick and as put together as I might look when the camera turns on, I tell people, you don't see me a second before I turn the camera on and a second after I turn the camera on. So right before I did this show, I was closing my sliding door of my bedroom and I jammed my toe and I cried out to God, not exactly in praise. The praise comes later, but for some reason, I think God puts me through some aggravation, through some irritation, just to focus me, to let me know that don't get comfortable. Don't get in some little warm zone where you think you can just mail in the show or just put in the time. Everything is vital. Everything is on the edge. Everything depends on what you say today, relatively speaking. This is how I feel. This is how I feel, that every time I talk to you, it has to be relevant, it has to be real, it has to be spiritual, it has to be scriptural. And what does that more really than God doing something in your life to you, which is actually for you, that makes you realize, I'm not comfortable in this place, that is this earth. I am operating every second by the grace of God. I don't know when all this is going to end, but until it does, I got to give it everything I have. This is Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula, and I am happy to bring you a show today about the compensation of God. God is going to compensate us for everything we have ever been through, right down to that slamming my foot under the sliding door. Nothing is too small to evade God's notice. I'm going to bring you a verse from Psalm about God collecting our tears. Every tear that you have shed in this life, God is going to make it up to you. I'm on this topic because of comments that were made on show 701. There was a conversation between Black Ice, I don't know who Black Ice is, and Dana Mim, and myself. I don't know Dana Mim except her comments here on my show. But every single person who watches this show, and especially those who comment, we are not comfortable. We're not comfortable here. Someone once said, Martin, I like when you do shows on your sofa. You look so comfortable. I'm never comfortable. Never. When I'm doing this show, I am never comfortable, especially not right before I do the show. But God does this on purpose to keep us on edge, to keep us realizing that this is not our home. Okay, I'm going to go to show. I'm going to read some comments from show 701. And I know these folks won't mind. This is a teachable moment. Besides, these comments are made publicly. Black Ice says, I had just commented in show 701 about my son, how my son was going to take the VC for the CV19er. Black Ice says, I feel for you and your situation with your son. And then he says, and I got something to get off my chest. Oh, I love it when people start texts like this. Be real. Be real and stay real. He says this, in my 20 years on this planet, I feel like I want compensation. I love this. I feel like I want compensation. For example, my mom doesn't believe the essentials, that is, of the evangel. I lived a man's life too early. I was taken from my mom and given back after 3 years. She was too physically sick. I have PTSD. Again, this public comments. I love this person. Black eyes. Don't know who it is, but I love this honesty. I have PTSD from everything I went through when I was taken, etc. from his mother. I feel like I need compensation. You do, because this is a human thing implanted in us by God, that we want this pain, we want the tears. Somehow God owes us. This sounds terrible to say, like, I want compensation. And some people are shocked by that. And our friend and fellow believer Dana Mim makes a comment here. I'm going to read it to you. She's initially shocked by this, by someone that would say, I want compensation, I need compensation. I think it goes back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. And remember, I applied all those things to God. Love is expecting all. And I said the only way this could apply is if we apply it to God. It can't apply to humans. How can you expect all of humans? But when we expect things of God, I'm not saying it's in the form of demanding something from God, but expecting something from God. It's like, God, I've said this to God before. Confession time for Martin Zender. I've said to him, the glory better be good. The glory better be good for what you are putting us through down here. I mean, I'm that forward with God. And I think God likes that. And it's related to faith. God loves faith. God loves when we believe what he tells us and we hold him to it. I mean, Moses did this, right? When he was up on the mountain and God says, I think I'm just going to wipe out Israel and keep you, you know, because you're one of the good guys. The majority of the nation is unclean, and so I'm going to wipe them out. And Moses gets quite forward with God, and he says, how could you do that? For your own sake, for the sake of your word, what you said you were going to do concerning Israel, I don't see how you can do this. So let's stay true to the word, shall we, God? Who speaks like that to the deity? I'll tell you who Moses does. I'll tell you who Black Ice does. And I do. And you do. Let me finish this. I have PTSD from everything I went through. I need compensation for my life. I hate to say it, not because I'm a self-righteous Christian, but because I feel personally that God doesn't have to make it up to me for his plans. Oh, but he does. Wait for it. But I really feel that need. And I know this planet is a letdown. Woohoo! Well, it's actually running exactly how it's supposed to run. But every day we're disappointed. Every day we go through pain for one thing or another. Few things have ever been a good memory. This poor person, I definitely feel empathy for this person. Been through a lot worse things than I've been through as a kid. He says, my whole traumatic experience in this place, that is this earth, gives me a piss poor attitude. Love your honesty, friend. A piss poor attitude that I hide because of a defense mechanism developed as a child and a shit view on almost everything. I'm telling you, I mean, I don't recommend this kind of pessimism or this kind of misery, but it is what it is. Why fake it? Why pretend that things are otherwise? So you don't have to hide it, Black Ice, and in fact you're not hiding it here. A shit view on almost everything. Now, some of my current attributes are indeed blessings, of course, because God knows that we would kill ourselves if he didn't sow in blessings into this terrible experience known as walking through the tail end of Eon 3 on planet Earth. He says he has cold, cold feelings and a dark outlook. But still, I love it. Here's where he turns the page. But still, my hope lies in the future. Even Jesus Christ said that. Jesus Christ said, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. And he said this while he was stuck on this planet, suffering unimaginable evils, the shadow of the cross hanging over his whole life. And what does he ask for? What does he pray for? Glorify me. Glorify me. I say this to God all the time. And when I articulate it, people look at me askance, like, glorify me. Who do you think you are? Glorify me. Those he's designated beforehand, these he calls. These he calls, he glorifies also. So he promises to glorify us. And I hold him to it. I hold God to it. And so does Black Ice. He says, I want the snatching away. See, I love this. Because I think we ought to tell God, I want glorified. I want delivered from these trials. I want the snatching away. God loves it when we expect all. See, love is expecting all. We're actually loving God when we're expecting this from him. He ends this way. I'll stop here for now. Thanks for everything. Thanks for supporting me. And he then gives an exhortation to the body of Christ. He says, keep supporting each other. Peace. And then after this, now Dana Mem responds. Don't think you're alone in trauma in this life. I dare say most, if not all, have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, from what we have gone through. I grew up with an alcoholic mother who drove me around in the car, drunk half of the time. I can't even begin to tell you, says Dana to Black Ice, how much I've been through. But wanting compensation? What does that even mean? She asks. God put us where we are for a reason. Accept it. Be at peace with it. Forgive. I see what she's saying here. That's the end of her comment. I think she detects a little bit of bitterness. And bitterness is sown into our experience. Paul says, don't be bitter. Okay, Paul, thanks. I'll try. But it doesn't always happen that way. I can't always do it. So this is a good exhortation. Be at peace with it and forgive. But I called Dana out for saying wanting compensation. What does that even mean? It means that you want to be recompensed for things you've been through down here. You want God to make it up to you. I responded kind of hard, maybe. I said, I love you, Dana, but that's the wrong answer. We ought to long for compensation. This is my comment now. This is nothing less than expecting all of God. See the 1 Corinthians 13 love chapter. God will make it up to us for all the events of this life that have eaten us alive. I got a quote for you on that from Joel chapter 2. I'm going to get to that in a second. This life eats us alive. It is godly to expect God to compensate us for the trauma here. Isn't that part of what the coming glory is all about? See, in God's way of doing things, plainly stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, first the soulish, afterwards that which is spiritual. First mortality, then immortality. First the trauma, then the glory. First the humiliation, then the exaltation. What does that even mean, you ask? It means that God is going to heal us above and beyond the trauma. Because Paul says the current trials of this world, the current pain we're going through, is not worthy to be compared to the glory. So God is comparing two things. What's he comparing? The trauma, the stress, the pain, the humiliation. He's comparing that to the coming glory. So not only is he saying that the coming glory is exceeding, will exceed the trauma, but built in here is something that we maybe don't note enough, or we take for granted maybe, is that there is a coming glory. There is a compensation. And God will do above and beyond all we are able to hope and expect. There's another verse for you from Paul. God will do above and beyond anything we think he might do. anything. So we have Black Ice here saying, I really hope to be compensated for this. Well, God's going to compensate you more than you would even expect for yourself. If you could submit your compensation plans to God, God would say, that's all you want? Are you kidding me? I had much more in store for you, but don't worry, God's going to override our juvenile ideas of what it takes to make us happy. Well, okay, I'll go through this, but this is what it's going to take to make me look back at this life and say that it was worth it. God has made note of our little cries and our suggestions, and he's going to blow it out of the water. He's going to say, oh, that's all you want? Well, wait till you see what I have in store for you. It is above and beyond our expectations. And I told Dana here, please don't look upon Black Ice and those like him, like me, for instance, and think that we are greedy for just wanting some relief and some compensation, even in the law of Moses. This is true. Exodus chapter 21. Even in the law of Moses, victims of crime were compensated. Do you think that God in his infinite grace will do less for us? So even under law, God compensated people. For instance, if you were responsible for the death of someone else's animal, God made you compensate that person for the loss. This was sewn into the law of Moses. So how much more in the revelation of the grace of God will we be compensated for our, let's say, for our little inconveniences here? Dana got it. She completely got it after this. Well, Black Ice responded and he said, thank you for bringing clarity, Martin. You're welcome. And then Dana says, I never thought of it in that way. Thank you for that response. Well then, I look forward to my compensation. There you go. Boom. Dana is turned when presented with how God does things. I look forward to my compensation. There you go. Minor adjustment. People don't think they deserve it. We don't think we deserve it sometimes. Because I think we compare our sufferings to Jesus on the cross, and we think, what have I been through? Well, I just smashed my feet in the sliding door. What is that compared to 6 hours of suffering on the cross? Well, I'm sorry, but I won't compensate it for that. For that. And here's the thing. God is going to compensate me for it, because he remembers even our tears. Listen to this. From the Psalms. Psalm 56, verse 8. You yourself keep number of my wanderings. I could do a series of shows just on this. David in the Psalms, a guy who suffered a lot, who wandered a lot. We think of wandering as, oh, he's taking a walk through the wilderness. No. Wanderings is that many times David felt like he was on the track, on the path God laid out for him. Other times in his sin, he felt like he was wandering. We call it wandering off the reservation. What's the reservation? The reservation is what we think is God's intention for our lives. And we think we're wandering off the reservation. We're doing something that's not good. And we do. But what does David say? You have kept number of my wanderings. You note every step. A man's steps are ordered by the Lord. Your steps, even those steps where you're, quote, off the reservation, unquote. But the good news is you can't go off the reservation. I'm going to make a play on words with reservation here, but we have a reservation. Paul says this in another place. The expectation reserved for you in the heavens. Then David says, you place my tears in your skin bottle. Are they not recorded in your scroll? I think the King James and most other versions say, place my tears in a bottle. But David feels the need, and the concordant version of the Old Testament brings this out. You place my tears in your skin bottle. Strange wording, but they used to make bottles out of animal skins. Reminds me of the skins that God used to clothe the first couple in the Garden of Eden following their failure, their monumental failure. An animal had to die to clothe them for their sin. What does this point to? It points to Christ giving his life, giving his skin to the smiters for our sakes. We think only really of the sacrifice of Christ for our sins, but that's such a broad term, such big things, our sins. But what about our tears? What about every tear we shed out of frustration, out of pain in this life? That too was placed upon Christ, and the rending and the destruction of his skin, in the destruction of his skin, was collected our tears. See, that's way more intimate. That's way more detailed. That's way more inside. God makes note of the littlest pains that produce even the littlest tears. And he keeps them. Those were the things also, our tears, that caused him to writhe on that cross. And when he was on that cross, he bought the compensation, the future compensation. He bought it with his flesh. You keep my tears in your skin bottle. I can easily interpret that as, in the body, you keep my tears in the body of your flesh, in the writhing of your agony on the cross, all my disappointments lie. And when Christ raised from the dead, it was really a foreshadowing of our future glory. Do you think Christ was compensated for his death? You better believe he was. Because of the low place he went to, he was glorified beyond anything he had before the world was. A name that is above every name because of his suffering. Christ was compensated. Job was compensated. The latter days of Job were greater than the former days of Job. Even the very concept of a wage, which we see in Scripture all the time, and which you have in your heart, your desires to work for a wage. You think God belittles that or says, what do you mean you're going to work for a wage? No, we expect that when we do work in this life, we get a wage from our employers. This is implanted in us to need this, to want this. Why is it implanted in us? Because it is a principle that exists in the heart and in the mind of God to compensate. So we never should feel bad that we want something. Even Peter said, I love this, Peter said to our Lord, well, we've left everything, we've suffered a lot for you, what are we going to get? Instead of saying, oh, come on, Peter, that's pretty selfish. Like, Peter, get over yourself, come on. What am I going to get? Is that all you care about, Peter? Isn't there a higher thing than to ask me, what are we going to get because we suffered so much? No, Jesus doesn't say that. He acknowledges the legitimacy of the question, and he answers it. You're going to be seated on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So these 12 bums who were wandering the wilderness, God keeps track of their wanderings. Jesus says to them plainly that on the same veil of tears, where you suffered so much in anonymity and people hating you, people spitting on you because of my namesake, on this very planet, on the regenerated planet, in the 1,000 years, you're going to sit on one of 12 thrones, Peter, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You're going to be the most famous, the most powerful people on the planet Earth in the coming kingdom. How's that for being compensated for your suffering? So this principle is sown into everything we do. God is the one who implanted it in us. I will make up to you the years that the worm ate, all the destruction in your life, all your hopes and dreams shattered, your homes destroyed, your job destroyed, your marriage destroyed, your nerves destroyed, everything that the worm ate. In Israel, agriculture was everything. When your crops fail, when everything goes bad, God says in Joel, I'm just going to go ahead and read it at the end of this show here. God says in Joel, this is all part of it, Joel 2:25, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. God sends armies of trial to us. But the promise is that these trials will be traded in. We will trade in all these trials for a compensation that even if we could imagine, if we could list to God how we wanted repaid for all this trouble, God will laugh and say, that's nothing. Wait till you see what I'm going to do for you.